This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're talking from the subject of the problem with perfection, And I think that a lot of us deal with this. Now, not everybody. Of course, you've got a group that, hey, you know, I'm just going to be who I am. And that's not a bad way to be. You got it? But I think that a lot of us deal with this. I know that I, as your pastor, definitely deal with this for sure. And so the problem I want to talk about is perfectionism. Perfectionism, or always trying to be perfect. I mean, I am a stickler for dotting every I and crossing every T, and to a degree that is good, but can become unhealthy if you take it too far. You got it? And I'm not so much talking about excellence, because I think excellence is a little bit different. I think we should have excellence and we should do things God's way. But what I'm talking about is the thing that causes you to go crazy if something's not perfect. Like if everything isn't the way it's supposed to be. Everything has a space. Everything should be done. You know, like, and this is something that I have worked on my entire life, because I really do like things a certain way. And like I said, that is not a bad thing. That is a good thing, as long as you don't take it too far. If you take it too far, it becomes unhealthy in our lives. Like if I was to vacuum this floor up here, which I've done before, I would start on the left, because I'm a military man. Military, you start on the left, right? And I would start all the way, and I would come back and you're in the line, and then I would go forward, and then I'd come back in my line, and I would do this all the way up and back. You got it? And if I got all done, put the vacuum away, came back in, and realized that I missed this little strip right here, guess what Pastor's going to do? I'm going to go right back and get the vacuum. You got it? And the problem now is, if I just fix this little strip, it throws the whole pattern off. So in my mind, my brain wants to go all the way back over and start again. Now, you are looking at me like I have issues, and I do. Because I told you I've got issues, you've got issues, all of God's children have issues. If you don't think you have an issue, guess what? That's your issue, right? And so, but I think that we really need to work on this. And we want to be our best, but make sure we're not going too far and having, watch this, unrighteous expectations for your life as it relates to some natural things that can cause stress, strain, or struggle, which God doesn't want in your life. Amen? And so I've got three simple points for you today to help you understand how to deal with this. And I believe that this is really going to help deepen your relationship with God. Well, Pastor, you know, you telling me not to be so perfect is going to help deepen my relationship with God. When you get the revelation on this, and you're going to get it by the end, it's going to help. So three simple points. Everybody say number one. All right. Point number one is I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. And so even though this point is in first person, I'm not just talking about Pastor James is not perfect. I'm talking about we all are not perfect. As a matter of fact, just to fix this, why don't everybody just look at your neighbor and say, I'm not perfect. Go ahead and just tell them I'm not. Which two they respond under their breath? I already knew that. Praise the Lord. All right. It's just a joke. And so when we understand the word perfect in the natural, from the Webster's Merriam definition, it is being entirely without fault or defect. Just think about that. Being entirely without fault or defect. If you're not careful, you're trying to live a life where you are entirely without fault or defect. And that is the problem with perfection, because you can't do that. You got it. I thought about, you know, I have a lot of scriptures for all my points, except for point number one. I was going to this scripture and that scripture and this scripture. When I hit this scripture, I realized it's the only one I needed for point number one. It is Romans 3:23. And the writer says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's in the New King James Version. KJV is very close to it. It just says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Most of us know this scripture. It is what we call the Romans Roman road, when you learn discipleship, when you learn how to get somebody saved, what are the scriptures you should tell them? Romans 3 and 23, Romans 6 and 23, and then Romans 10 and 9. Like, those are the three that they say, if you don't know anything, learn these three, right? And so the writer says, all have sinned. You got it? The word sin in the Greek is harmatano, which means to miss the mark, to miss the mark. How many know that no one on this earth always gets it right? Like, how many know we're going to make mistakes, we're going to mess up, we're going to miss the mark? Why? Because we're not perfect. That's it. You got it. Okay, this is a good class. We're going to get right through this. So perfection is an unreachable goal for humans, but yet we constantly try to reach it. And for some of us, if we're not careful, it can become the source of stress, strain, and struggle in our lives. Everything, this is not talking doubt or unbelief, this is just facts. Everything is not always going to work out exactly how you want it to work out every single time, right? That's why we live by faith, right? Because when things don't work out exactly how you want it, you have faith to believe that God is going to make up the difference. God is going to get you from where you are to where you need to be. You got it? And so we have to make sure that we don't allow this to cause unwanted anxiety, stress, and worry in our lives. And so I am a stickler for things being done right. So when I'm, going through this lesson, really Holy Spirit is ministering to me throughout the week as I'm studying. So I'm looking at the scriptures, but I'm not looking at them for you. Just so you know, anytime I ever study a lesson, I always make sure that I preach it to me before I preach it to you. You got it? There's times I'll preach something, to me through the week, and I'm like, ooh, man, you need to work on that yourself. You got it? There's times I'll preach something to myself through the week, and I say, Lord, I'm sorry, because I'm actually not the best with that myself. So I'm always making sure that I have my own self check before I get up here and tell you what you need to do. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah. And so, but I have to learn, and I'm learning. I'm learning to get to the point where I understand it's okay. You got it? It's okay to be a little fast talking during my lesson. You know, when I get excited, I get to talking real fast. And sometimes lady will tell me on a Sunday, she always does. She's like, babe, you did a good job. It was a good lesson. I'm like, yeah, but I started talking too fast. She's like, babe, nobody's worried about you talking fast when you get to that point. But in my brain. And so I have to tell myself, it's okay. Or, even though I have points and sub-points, I have all other kind of points just in my head and in my heart that I want to make sure that I get to you. And most of the time, I remember all of them. God has just blessed me to have a good memory. But every once in a while, I will think about it 6 o'clock in the evening on a Sunday while I'm watching football. You understand what I'm saying? And don't come talking to me about them boys that still are here. Well, how can you say that? I don't move from my confession. I'm just going to keep saying it. And if I keep saying it, one day. So I'm working on me because I like things a certain way. I like to be on time. I like to be first, all right? Since the beginning of the year, a lady and I have, a lady hadn't dropped off as much as I have, so I shouldn't put her in it. But, we started with the fast, and of course the fast really helped because you sacrificed for some things that you really didn't need to do. And so and sweets was one of my big ones. I did a few others, but sweets was my, big one, right? And so even after the 21st came, I didn't just run out. It's like, okay, on the 22nd, I'm eating sweets, and on the 27th, no. I told Lady Babe, don't be buying all them Oreos and all that stuff at the house because I'm still trying to do good, And then Lady has a Peloton bike. She has a Peloton treadmill, so there's really no excuses for us not to be healthy. So I'm like, okay, I just got to get back on it. I don't want to, but I know I need to be disciplined. I know I need to do it. And so I get on the Peloton bike. I get on that some. I really don't like the bike. You got it? And so I like to run. I'm on the treadmill. That's starting to go pretty good. I'm doing classes. I'm doing what they call beginner classes, right? 20-minute beginner classes, 30-minute beginner classes. I'm starting to do really good in my beginner classes, right? Like, I'm starting to okay, yeah, I got this thing. I'm running a little bit faster. When they take breaks, I'm still running. It's not bothering me. And so I told Lady, when the guy's talking or the lady's talking, the instructor, sometimes they shout out names, right? And so, but it's already pre-recorded. Lady's He's like, well, they do live classes. I said, man, I'm going to do me a live class. And so the live class was this morning at 6:20 or 6:30. And so I said, oh, man, I'm going to do a live class. I said, man, I'm going to make it up to the top so they can say, I see you, you know. And so everybody, what's your name for Peloton? Lady Mac 98, okay? And so I spent like 30, 40 minutes trying to figure out what my name was going to be. And I had a lot of nice names, but I couldn't find the name that it was already taken. So I finally found one name that said, see you at the top. And so that's my name for Peloton. I will see you at the top because I plan on being at the top. I might start at the bottom, but I plan on being at the top, right? So I'm excited this morning. You got it? Look at everybody. Say, he's going somewhere, all right? And so I'm excited. So the lady comes on and we're live in London, right? And so I notice that as she comes on, she's talking, but my things are working. So I'm like, man, I'm gonna go ahead and start walking a little bit, get me a few calories before we really, you know, go into it. So we're starting to do this thing, and it's not a beginner class, it's an intermediate. And I'm like, okay, praise the Lord, right? And so they have this board called a leaderboard, and it shows where you are. And so, man, there's a whole bunch of us up there, right? And so, you know, so, and we, look, y'all, we're not running. We are running. You got it? And so I was doing good. I was at 13. You got it? But then I fell down to 22. And then I fell down to 29. And then I fell down to 35. And then I fell down to 47. And I found myself hanging between 45 and 47. And so my thing is, man, I have to be at the top. So we run for 3 minutes, and then you jog for a minute, and then you run for 3 minutes again. I said, well, if I increase my speed, that might put me up at the top. And then when we take breaks, I'm not going to take a break. I'm going to keep on running, right? So when we took a break, everybody took a break. You can tell, because everything slows down. I'm still running. So now I'm starting to get back up to the top. I'm feeling good about me. But when she said it's time to run again, all of a sudden I'm still running, but like, and I had to help myself make myself feel better. David says you have to encourage yourself. And so I had to tell myself, son, you about 45 years old. These are a bunch of 20-year-olds running. You doing good. You got it? Like, I'm trying to help myself, because when we all start running again, I see myself coming back right down to 45, 46. And I had to remind myself of the lesson that I went over this entire week to let you know that it's okay. It's okay if I'm not always at the top. It's okay if things don't work out the way I want them to. It's okay if I forget to text somebody back unintentionally. Like, it's okay in life, you got it, because you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We're not going to be perfect. Yes, we should wake up every day and give God our very best. But truth be told, even on giving God your very best, sometimes we miss the mark. Sometimes you get frustrated and then said something you shouldn't have said, have to ask God to forgive you. Thank God he's a forgiving God. Watch this. But after he forgives you, you have to learn to forgive yourself. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so number one is I'm not perfect. All right. Everybody say number two. Number two, he is perfect. Talking about God. You serve the creator of the universe. You got it. That has made you, and he is perfect. Perfect. Psalms 18 and 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him. I could preach a whole lesson on just Psalms 18 and 30. I want you to go back and just break that down at some time. The way God's way is perfect, so I need to do it God's way. His word is proven, so I need to operate his word, his laws, his statutes, and he is a shield to those who trust him. And as I'm doing those first two things, he'll protect me as I go along. But that's another lesson for another time. Psalms 19 and 7. Amen. That's a good place to clap. Amen. So, now, if you're going to clap, give me a good clap. Now, don't panic. All right. Psalms 19 and 7. The law of the Lord is what, class? Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Hebrews 4 and 15 says, for we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, or let me give you another word, our imperfections. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, yet without missing the mark, because he is the only one that's walked the face of this earth who was perfect. Does that make sense? Matter of fact, when Jesus walked the first of the earth, the world examined Jesus and really couldn't find anything wrong. You had naysayers who lied. You got it. But I'm talking about anybody who actually could find anything wrong with Jesus. Nobody could actually find anything wrong with Jesus. As a matter of fact, the leader of the world at that time, his name was Pilate, and he could not find anything, even though everybody was like, crucify him. So John, the 18th chapter and the 38th verse, it says, Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again, already been out there to the Jews. He goes out again and says to them, I find no fault in him at all. They're still crucify him. So Pilate's going through this little thing. And then chapter 19, verse 4, Pilate then went out again and said to him, behold, I am bringing him out. Like, I'm about to bring him to you that you might know that I find no fault in him. If you keep reading, just go down a few verses to verse 6. It says, therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, you take him and crucify him. I don't want to have anything to do with him for I find no fault in him. That is our Savior. That is your Lord. There is no fault. He watch this. He was perfect. He is perfect. He will always be perfect. I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, but we serve a risen Savior who is perfect. That's a good place to clap right there. Amen. All right. So, and I don't have to push that. I'll give you enough scripture reference for you to know. We know Jesus is perfect. Like, nobody's going to fuss about that, right? So let's rehearse our points. Let's put point number one up on the screen. A really loud class. Point number one. I am not perfect. I'm not perfect. All right. Point number two. He is perfect. Did y'all change my point number one? Oh, okay. Because I just have I'm not perfect. And so you did change it. Yes, indeed. Because you know I got issues, right? So I'm like, I know I emailed them my lesson, and my lesson says I'm not perfect. And then I look up, and I'm like, okay, class, I'm not perfect. And I'm like, oh, I am not perfect. That is not me. Number two. Let's put number. What is it, class? He is perfect. And then really, really strong, I want you to give me number three. Here we go. I am perfected, and this is the meat of the message that is going to take you deeper in your relationship with God. We are perfected, but we are perfected by grace. We are perfect in the Father's sight. And I know that's hard for a lot of people to grasp that. But in the Father's sight, because of what Jesus has already done for us on Calvary, when the Father looks at us, we are without fault or defect by grace. So when Jesus looked, when God looks at us, he sees the finished work of Jesus in our lives. Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 48th verse, Jesus is doing what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And it's one of the most complete sermons we have of Jesus in the New Testament. And of course, we learn that in it is the Beatitudes, blessed is the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, and just all these things. And so Jesus is teaching and he's giving wisdom. And then toward the end of his lesson, watch what he says. He says, be ye therefore perfect, watch this now, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, that's a tall order. You got it? And when you begin to understand this, you have to understand that the only way you can do this is by grace as you receive what Jesus has already done for you on Calvary. Like, Jesus knew he was going to go to the cross and he was going to sacrifice his life. And watch this. And when he got done, he was going to go present himself to the Father. And watch this. And then from that point on, because Jesus paid the penalty of sin, he paid the sin price, he was the sin offering, that you and me in the Father's eyes, there would be nothing lacking. Like, every time the Father sees you, or every time the Father sees me, he doesn't just see you, he sees the finished work of Christ, what Jesus has already done for you. That is why he says, come boldly before the throne of grace. You got it? And so you're thinking, I can't come boldly before the throne of grace because I got in a wife, I got in a fight with my wife last week, or I got, you know, and the Father says, it's, watch this, you coming boldly before me, you entering into my presence has nothing to do with what you have done, but everything to do with what Jesus has already done. He has already made the way where the veil has been rent from the top to the bottom, giving you direct access. So anytime you need me, you just come. I don't care if you're messed up. I don't care if you're falling apart. I don't care what's going on in your life. I want you to come, and I want you to come boldly to me. Why? Because I'm your Father, and I love you, and that's never going to change. Because I'm your Father, and I'm always going to be there. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And you have to accept by grace what your big brother Jesus did for you on Calvary. And that is how we enter. And so the word perfect in the Greek means teleos, which means finished or complete, which is different from when we think perfect in the natural. You got it? So the Bible says that the word perfect in the teleos. Let me just say it again. So the word perfect in the Greek means teleos, which means finished or complete. So we are perfect or complete because of what Jesus has already done for us on Calvary. John 19:30. Catch this. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." He said, "It is finished." Also, the same thing is, "It is complete." All right. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. How many know that nobody killed Jesus? He says, "I lay down my life that I might take it up again." You got it? And so he says, it is finished or it is complete. So because of what Jesus has done for us, we have been perfected or made complete in him. Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 14th verse. I just got to give you proof text. I believe in giving you more than one scripture. Let everything be established by two or more witnesses. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, he has what class? Perfected how long? What if I mess up? What if I make a mistake? He says he has perfected forever. Watch this. You got to catch this. Those who are being sanctified. And so I wake up every day. I'm going to give God my very best. Watch this. But it doesn't mean I'm always going to hit the mark. There are times I may get frustrated. I may say something that I shouldn't do. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Hello, somebody. That I can just go back to him. 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me for all of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But the Bible says, watch this. He has already perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Those who, watch this, and if you're not careful, you think sanctification is one and done when sanctification can be a process. People think deliverance is one and done when deliverance can be a process. And I may not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. Watch this. And so I'm not in competition with anybody. I am marching to the beat of my own drum. I'm just trying to be better than I was yesterday. Does that make sense? So I'm already perfected forever based on what Jesus did for me on Calvary. And if you don't receive that by grace, that's a hard pill to swallow. Because we know we've messed up. We know we've made mistakes. We know that we've done things years ago that we've already asked God to forgive us for. He's already forgiven us for them. And if you're not careful, you're still hung up over that. And God is not. Does that make sense? Colossians 2:10. I got to get out of here. And he says, and you are complete in him. You are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. Now, when you get this, you can stop trying to be perfect and realize you're perfected. Does that make sense? Yeah. So everybody say no more. Yeah. Say it again. Say no more. I think this is a good place to go home court. Look at your neighbor and tell them no more. No more what? No more what, Pastor? No more beating yourself up. No more allowing the enemy to make you think that you're the problem. No more allowing the enemy to think that the reason the relationship didn't go right, it was because it was all your fault. Because after all, the other party always had everything to say about me, and I couldn't do this right, and I couldn't do this right. And it was all me. And now if I'm not careful, I'll let the enemy jump on that bandwagon and make it think like it was all me all the time. When it takes two to make a thing go right. And so the enemy will use that to put you in condemnation. Make you think you're all messed up when actually you're not all messed up. in the eyes of God. You got to get this. You got to get this. So I'm not perfect in my performance, but I'm perfect in my position before God. So yeah, so in my performance, I'm going to make mistakes. But when it comes to the finished work of Jesus and my relationship with God, watch this. There's nothing else I can do for his acceptance. There's nothing else I can do for his love. Yes, I should be ye holy as he is holy. We're not saying that you can just do anything you want to. I think y'all understand that. But what I'm saying is, if I truly give God my best, then watch this. Then Jesus always makes up the rest. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you know, I'm your pastor, and as your pastor, sometimes I struggle with trying to be perfect, and I think I'm getting better as the days go by. You know, you ever fuss at yourself? Yeah, I fuss at me. You got it. I do. Yeah. You know, why are you letting that bother you? Too old to let that bother you. Why are you getting frustrated? You about 45 years old. What's wrong with you? Get yourself together. Ever fuss at yourself? You should be further in this area. Or you should be further in that area. What's wrong with you? You should be more disciplined in this area. I mean, the enemy, he will work overtime just to beat you up and to beat you up and to beat you up and to keep you to stay down when God really wants you to be high. Because happiness... I was talking to Jay, and I was like, bud, I said, you got to remember, happiness is not based on circumstances. You got it. Or who we are, how good we are, or how good we're not. No. Happiness is a choice that we make ahead of time. That the joy of the Lord is going to be my strength, regardless of what I'm going through. So even if I'm going through a situation that looks you know, bad, you got it, and it looks like there's no way out, there's joy that I have, which becomes my strength, you got it, and it gives me the faith to know that, man, God is going to work everything out for my good. So, someone said something that really helped me, and I'm hoping that it'll help you, especially to those of you that really beat yourself up so much. They said, you know, you are really, really good at giving grace to others. But they said, but you are not so good at giving grace to yourself. And I want to say it again, but this time I don't want to say it as them saying it to me. I want to say it to you in hopes that Holy Spirit will minister to you. Because maybe there's some in the room that you're really, really good at giving grace to others. You'll forgive others. You'll let go of this that happened to you and that happened to you, which is good. But maybe you're not so good at giving grace to yourself. And what I'm hoping is that today you'll receive God's grace and quit being so hard on yourself and striving for something that you can never really attain. You can never attain it through your behavior, but you've already attained it through your belief. You can never attain it through your performance, but you've already attained it through the position you have with the Father. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If I can have like nobody moving because we're really early. I mean, if you have to move, move. But we're only going to be here just a few minutes. So I want everybody to say today is the day. And I want to declare in the name of Jesus that today is the day. What do you mean, Pastor? Today is the day that you stop wrestling. Wrestling with condemnation. Wrestling with shame. Wrestling with guilt. Wrestling with things that you've done in the past that you've already asked God to forgive you. Trying to reach an unreachable goal in the natural when God, through his son Jesus, has already made the way for you. And so I believe that there's a lot of us that struggle with that. And so today, I want you to just be free. I just want you to be free. And I want you to give grace to yourself. Well, Pastor, I've messed up. Guess what? Hold on, stop. Wait a minute. We've all messed up. But Pastor, I made mistakes. We've all made. No, Pastor, you don't understand. Like, even after I messed up and God got me out of it, I did something else again crazy. Guess what? Everybody in the room, even if they're not there now, they have been down that road. And what you need to do is to receive grace from the Father. Receive the finished and complete work from Jesus. Watch this. He's already forgiven you. Now you got to forgive yourself. And after you forgive yourself, Do like God. Throw it into the sea of forgetfulness to remember it no more. If somebody brings it up, you just look at them like, man, what are you talking about? And that's the only way to really walk in freedom.
While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, I can't leave without giving you the opportunity to accept Jesus into your heart. Maybe you don't know Jesus, and maybe you're online watching and you just kind of scrolled through and you found us. I want you to know Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me. And I know he's the best thing that ever happened to you or will ever happen to you. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 9, if we will just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, it goes on to say that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you and that you need him in your life. To the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. That word repent is not a hard word. People make it a hard word. They act like you got to go through all these classes. It doesn't work like that. All it means literally, scripturally, the word repentance means I'm heading in the wrong direction. And I come to the knowledge of Jesus and realize I need him in my, I need to repent and need him in my life. I decide to repent and make a U-turn and start heading in the right direction. That's all it is. It's a decision that you make. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you're a Christian that needs to repent. I just want you to know that Jesus took care of you yesterday so he could have your tomorrow. He's already made the way, and all you have to do is freely receive him. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. I believe the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord are the ones that flourish. And it's so vitally important that we get planted in the house of the Lord. See, being in an environment of faith around people of faith will help produce your faith so you can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. And so this is what I want you to do. If you need to get saved, I want you to pray this prayer. If you need to rededicate your life, I want you to pray this prayer. If you're a Christian and need to repent, I want you to pray this prayer. If you do not fall under any of those, I want you to pray this prayer because it'll help the person next to you or behind you or in front of you that really needs to pray this prayer. So I'm going to ask everyone to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil word. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise in the house of the Lord? Are you